You are listening to Tom and Mike, Tosa's Talking Tech. Subscribe on iTunes today. Just search Tosa's Talking Tech in the iTunes store.
I'm Dr. Rachel Monades, and when I need tech help, these are my go-to guys.
Welcome to Tosa's Talking Tech, your source for talk about educational technology, tech tips and tricks, and the changing face of education in the Bassett Unified School District and beyond. Here are your hosts, Michael Jeffcott and Tom Covington.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Tosa's Talking Tech. I am Tom Covington, Tech Integration Specialist for the Bassett Unified School District.
And I'm Michael Jeffcott, the other Tech Integration Specialist here at BUSD.
And on today's episode, we're going to be talking a little about how tech can expand our PLCs. We're going to be giving a review of the TUSD Connect conference that we went to, and we're going to have a special guest for that one. And then on our Tech Tips and Tech Minute today, we're going to be going over a couple of search tips to help your student search a little bit more safely and a little bit more easily. All right. So, welcome.
Glad to be here, Tom.
Yeah, exciting. So, this is Tosa's Talking Tech podcast episode 7. And our first topic for the day today is PLCs.
Another acronym for teachers to learn.
Yes, we have so many of them. So, without using an acronym, can you explain what PLCs are, Mr. Jeffcott?
Yeah, the PLC stands for Professional Learning Community.
Okay.
And basically what that is, it's an opportunity to extend the learning outside of your own classroom, in our case. Mm-hmm. But many professions use PLCs.
It's not just an education term.
No. But education happens to be one of the largest environments that uses PLCs. And we have quite a few different ways to develop PLCs. You can start as small as your site.
Uh-huh.
You can move out as large as globally.
Yeah. And everywhere in between.
And tech really helps develop PLCs like we've never seen before.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about my PLC and how it's expanded in my role as a tech integration specialist. I have really started to use Twitter a lot more now.
And I have.
Uh-huh. And I know we both got district accounts, you know, personal business accounts. I've had a personal Twitter account for, I don't know, 8 years. As long as Twitter's been out there, I snatched one up and I rarely tweet. It was just for looking at things and didn't really see the use for it personally. But now that I have really gotten into the tech world, you know, beyond the classroom and going to things like Q and this Test and Connect that we went to, we see a lot of educators out there using Twitter for their PLCs. And one of the things that I have been doing over the past month is participating in Twitter chats. And basically all a Twitter chat is people getting together at a specific time and place using one of the same hashtags. The one that I am involved in right now that I like participating in weekly is Connected TL. That stands for Connected Teacher Leader. And so on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, or I'm sorry, 7 p.m. Pacific, there's a moderator and the moderator will start posing questions. And anybody who wants to come in at that point, as long as they are using the hashtag ConnectedTL, can participate. So, I mean, you get educators from all over the country participating in these ConnectedTL chats.
That's a great thing about PLCs. You can find almost a PLC for any topic you can think of in education.
And Twitter, with these short little messaging and chats, really helps you not only boil down the information to the, you know, so it's really, really concise. You can quickly skim what other people are reading as well. And the first time I went on the ConnectedTL Twitter chat, I literally had 3 devices going. I had my phone next to me for notifications when people liked or retweeted something. I had my iPad up on the main screen so I could look at the scroll as it comes by. And I had my laptop over on the side, but I was watching the Kings game on that one. So that didn't count.
No.
So, but it was two. My wife's like, what are you doing?
Multitasking.
Yeah, I'm multitasking, babe. I got, and she's like, what's going on? Because she kept hearing my phone ding, and it was a Twitter chat, and people were responding. And so it really has allowed me to connect to other educators out there who are interested in teacher leadership. And I get the most retweets, the most likes, and the most followers from my PLC by participating in these chats.
Which helps grow your own personal.
Oh, yeah. And you get ideas from all over the place. A couple weeks ago, last week, this was March 1st, I think, the topic was on direct instruction. Ah. And so they had six questions on direct instruction. It's six questions. They're about every 10 minutes. And the first one was like, okay, define direct instruction. And from there, it turned into, okay, how do we use it in the classroom? Should it be used? And there was a little offshoot that was, okay, well, what if a student's up presenting? Is that considered direct instruction? And is it only the teacher that... So, I mean, it went all over. And, you know, all these people from all over, you get some great ideas floating around about that really can change your thinking or open new avenues. So it was really cool.
And the nice thing is, since I follow you on Twitter, and I also follow Connected TL, all those notices you were posting, tweeting, I was getting myself. And so if I like something, I'd retweet it.
Yeah.
And everyone who was following me would get that, and it would just pass it along.
Yeah, and it helps spread that a lot easier and more quickly. It's a really immediate means.
Powerful.
Yeah, and a couple weeks ago, one of the guys that is on one of the podcasts we listen to that's, check this out, Ryan O'Donnell was the moderator.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about digital badging. And through that, it's like, you know, what are digital badges and how are they useful and, you know, do they indicate competence or quality? And I kind of got sad because I don't really have many badges. And then I started thinking about, well, maybe I need to get out there and maybe, you know, these trainings, because if these people are getting these badges and they're really saying it's worth it, well, maybe that's something I need to open up and do. So, I mean, it, you know, opens you up to a whole new set of not only questions, but answers and new ideas that you might not have ever had. So,
yeah, something you don't have to come up with on your own. Someone's already been there.
Yeah.
They're sharing it with you. Hey,
that's right.
I did this. This is what happened. Yeah. Here's a shortcut.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to waste your time. I've got the answers for you.
And it was only an hour.
Yeah. Quick.
Yeah. And I sat down for the hour and I told my wife, okay, I'm doing this thing for work for an hour. You know, after I'll do it, but I might be a little busy. And it takes up your time. You're reading through the responses, you know, liking, retweeting, asking questions, quoting tweets. And I, like I said, the first time it was a little overwhelming, but I think I've been through five of them now. And there's a little bit of a routine that's in there now, and it's a lot easier to interact as I've spent longer in the chat. So,
but you can get more out of that 1 hour PLC than you can get out of a 3 hour professional development sometimes.
Or sitting around at work asking questions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times our PLCs at work, I know I've been working with some of these people for 8 or 10 years. It's kind of, you know,
I've heard that.
Unless
I know
we,
that.
Yeah, okay. I've heard that, yeah. One. Okay. Now you're going to say this, and then somebody's going to get mad over here and say something else. And it just goes on. And getting these fresh new ideas about, this one's about, you know, teacher leadership and being connected in the classroom. Kind of like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, really inspiring and, getting me excited about what I'm doing in my classroom. So yeah, that's how I've been using the technology to basically spark, you know, a revived interest in the things not only I'm doing in class, but that we can present on and the way we get new ideas and learn.
And they've become quite popular in school districts. I mean, probably 10 plus years ago, I remember PLCs were the big thing.
Yeah.
The first one I really heard of was Edmodo.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And for those that don't know, Edmodo's kind of like a learning management system. I guess it is.
Yeah.
And districts can adopt. But there's also things like Big Campus and the one that we use here, Haiku. Which we've seen in action in other districts and would be great to develop into a really powerful PLC for us.
Yes. I've seen that work both not only as a PLC place, but also that learning management system where teachers can post lessons and what they're doing, and the students know that it's a resource as well. So,
and even some of the major software companies are pushing PLCs for their products.
Yes.
It's really a powerful way to get their product out there.
And have these online collaboration tools.
And getting, I know Discovery Ed was really pushing PLCs.
Yes.
Or is. Even apps, I've seen Class Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to join their Facebook. They want you to contribute and learn with others.
Yeah, and it'll give you a new insight to how maybe somebody else is using the same technology you are in a whole new way that you might not have thought of, and just increases the flexibility and usefulness of something you're already doing.
Yeah, you can collaborate with your team at your site, but four or five of you max, versus in some of these PLCs, you're talking thousands and thousands
that
of teachers.
Discovery Educator Network is huge.
Yes.
And they have a big Edmodo and Facebook following that teachers are always talking about stuff. And they schedule chats just like the you know, Twitter chats as well. So if you're going to put time into your job and into your learning, there are exciting new ways with technology that we can maximize, you know, the bang for our buck. Because like you said, that hour that I spend on that connected TL chat, not only do I get to, you know, get perspectives from people around the country, I get to share our perspective as well and what we're doing in our district, and get people to say, wow, that sounds pretty cool too. So, you know, sharing across, you know, the I don't know, country or, you know, even globally. I haven't seen anybody on there globally yet, but I mean, it'll happen.
Well, the nice thing about PLCs also is they're optional.
Yes.
You're not mandated. You have to go to this training.
Yep.
This is on your own time, most of the time. And you want to grow as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better way than a PLC. And going to some of these seminars, you get one side of the issue. You don't get different perspectives.
Yeah.
And this gives you different perspectives.
And quick, too.
Yeah.
You know, because if you can't say it in 140 characters, nobody's going to read multiple tweets. So really being concise and getting that, you know, that little nugget out quickly helps a lot.
Yeah, and you can review it your own time. If you can't make it, it's there.
Oh, it'll be there. And I'm looking back right now on Twitter at some of the connected TL chats that I've been in. And I'm going to give a couple shout outs right now. At least on the last one, there was a lot of talk going back and forth. And you get to, you know, hear ideas from all over the place. So a couple of people that are always on the connected TL and that I appreciate, Lindsay Bloss was one. She's at Lindsay Bloss 1 on Twitter. Ronald Achele, I'm probably butchering the name, but he's at EdTech Minded. Ari Fluelling at EdTech Ari. Judy Blakeney is at Judy Blakeney.
Yeah, I've seen her a lot.
Yeah.
She's on a lot of different.
Yeah, she is. Kate Tolnai is at Kate Tolnai. And then Ryan O'Donnell from Check This Out, he's at Creative EdTech. And like I said, I wouldn't have been connected to this PLC if I wouldn't have, you know, taking the time not only to look, but to make some of these initial connections at some of these conferences. So what's pretty cool, and I know we're talking about conferences in Q later, but with my connections on Twitter within the Q,
their scheduling.
Yeah, their schedule, their conference guide. I hooked up my Twitter account to it and all my Twitter friends popped up. So all these people that I talked to on Twitter, I could see exactly what sessions they're going to. And I'm like, oh, cool, they're going to that session too. Or, oh, they think that session's pretty cool. And then, you know,
it's like getting free advice on what to sign up for.
Yeah.
And it streamlines the choosing part because, there's 2,000 or I don't know how many sessions
there are. Crazy amount of sessions.
There's a lot. And you can see who's going to what.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, okay, they must.
And if I can't make something right now, I know I can ask that person, hey, how did that go? I wanted to go, but I was in something else.
Yeah.
And the power of being at that conference now expands to not only the sessions that I can physically attend, but now I have a resource to other sessions that I was like, hey, how did that go? And, you know, what were some things you could share off of that? And so, you know, the power of the learning there has just grown exponentially because of some of these digital PLC tools.
Yep.
Do you have anything else on PLCs? I know you had a couple things.
You know, we've been talking about ourselves, but also there's groups for students. Uh-huh. I know Edmodo, you can create your own class. You can have a grade level PLC. You can have move it out beyond that. But you can also get parents involved with some of these, depending on the site and how they set it up.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a nice way to connect like-minded individuals into a collaborative setting and a way for them to grow on their own time, in their own way.
And not only get new ideas, but maybe sometimes a little validation on the ideas that you have as well. You know, I could run a couple of things by people through Twitter. Hey, you think this will work? Or, hey, I have this idea, you know, can you put your 2 cents on it so I can make sure that I'm not crazy here? Or, you know, I'm not too outside the box or whatever it may be. But,
and, you know, it is also part of our job duties.
Yeah.
To stay current.
Yep.
What's going on out there. And PLCs make it very easy for us to stay current.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, talk about...
within the hour.
Yeah. Well, and I talk about a lot of things with technology that sometimes our IT departments, or for whatever reason, you know, technology a lot of times can't move at the speed of education. And what I'm seeing with especially these PLCs and Twitter chats is that's just speeding up even more. And it's getting close. But, I mean, there's some things like tech help that you're just, it's never going to be fast enough. But the fact that an idea could be out there and critiqued and refined really quickly, and you can get help on it and you could learn from others, it's just going to improve what we're doing in the classroom and what we're doing within our own sites as well.
Yeah, I've really seen the benefit of PLCs for Bassett. We've brought a lot back that we've learned in our own PLCs that we follow back to our own professional developments that we've given, and just based on those PLCs and what we've learned in there.
Mm-hmm. And it has increased our district knowledge, you know, by a factor of 10.
Yeah, because not everyone has the time to join a PLC, but if someone else is sharing what they've learned from it, everyone benefits.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And I know that even we were talking about our podcast, Professional Learning Community, and how, you know, once you start podcasting and you get out there, you start subscribing to others and you start listening. And even doing prep for the show, you know, that's like a little review and PLC of its own, because all the topics we go over and we talk about, especially things like Twitter chat, it's refreshing the good things about what we're doing to ourselves, and it's reinforcing. And, you know, things are triggering off, and, oh, I remember that. And, oh, what about that certification? And, oh, I was looking at here. And so it spawns other conversations and reflection on our part. Yeah. That's just going to make hopefully what we're doing a lot better for our own PLC.
And, you know, PLCs can be very informal, like Twitter, or they can be formal. You can have webinars, weekly webinars. I've seen that. I've seen our project-based learning team. They're doing weekly PLCs.
Yeah. With somebody across the country. That's right. And it's a weekly scheduled chat that they talk about our implementation and how it's going and get ideas. And so, I mean, just technology opening, because that wasn't available 10 years ago. It was a phone conversation where you'd have to talk through. And now it's, okay, I got a picture of somebody that I'm talking to across the country, and we're sharing screens, so we're looking at the same information. Yeah, so exponential growth.
Yeah, I've seen people even on their phones.
Uh-huh.
I have a webinar going, and this is the easiest way.
Yep.
Portable.
Cool. And speaking of PLCs, I think we're going to go into our interview right now. We brought in a guest to talk about her experience at the Tustin USD Connect. And Mike, why don't you go ahead and explain what the TUSD Connect Institute was about?
So TUSD is Tustin Unified School District. And in partnership with their foundation, they put on, this is their second one, a 3-day conference on how they went one-to-one, their successes, what they're working on to improve their deployment. And they have a population of about 18,000 plus students. And I think there's something in the neighborhood of 25 different sites.
That's a lot of sites.
That is a lot of sites.
And we also have one of our early literacy specialists with us today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Belinda Puente. I'm an early literacy specialist here in the Bassett Unified School District.
And Belinda went with us to the TUSD Connect, so we thought we'd get somebody else in here to help us recap. I know you get tired of hearing just mine and Mike's voices, and it's nice to have a little variety in there. So being your first time, Mike and I went to the TUSD Connect last year. This was our second one. But your first time, Belinda,
yes.
What were some of the impressions or big ideas you came away with or stuff that you saw and you liked?
Well, the first day I was really amazed at what they were doing. And then as I was watching and listening to the learning coaches, and I was thinking that here in Bassett, we really are doing some great stuff. I walked away thinking, these are all very doable in our district. We have great teachers that are already integrating technology, already are pushing out different apps to their students, and already have, we have a lot of students that are already learning how to integrate technology. How would I say this? Already using technology in showing what they know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, this is great. It's great to see how another district is using technology. And for me, especially when we had the site visit, and I'm going to jump ahead to the site visit, mm-hmm. It was great to see how they were using technology and writing, which I thought, how is that going to work together, using integration, you know, integrating technology with writing? But what I thought, wow, these are really great apps. So I came away with some good ideas for apps of things that we can try, but also just thinking about how we're already using technology in such great ways in different classrooms that I've seen, that I was excited that we could do more. And I think those are some of the things that I walked away with.
And we should probably explain a little bit more about the technology they have there.
And they're not only that, but what they've done to help integrate that technology.
Yes.
Yeah, and actually how they got this technology. Mm-hmm. They came up with a measure. I forget mm-hmm. what measure it was, but uh-huh. something like $175 million bond that yes. their community passed. And what they went with after piloting for a year or so, or mm-hmm. a couple of years, they went K-2 with mini iPads.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I think it was a 3-to-1 situation.
3-to-1, yeah. 3-to-1 ratio device to student. Three students for one device.
Mm-hmm. And then third grade to middle school, eighth grade, they went with full iPads.
Yes, iPad Air 2, I think.
And I think the middle school actually takes their devices home. They check them out.
Uh-huh.
And then the high school, they piloted a few different laptops and went with Toshiba laptops. And those are take home, but they also have a BYOD, bring your own device program, where students, if their devices or their laptops meet a certain criteria, they can bring those in, sign a waiver that they can use those in the classroom themselves.
One of the other things, besides putting devices in student hands that they did, they also hired digital learning coaches.
Yes.
And what the digital learning coaches are doing is they are helping the teachers integrate technology within their classroom. There's a program there called a DLC Fellowship Program, where each of the digital learning coaches has, I think it was anywhere from 8 to 10 fellows that they work with for a year to help integrate the technology into the classroom.
Yeah.
And what their hope is that the as the first crop finishes with a 10 at the end of the year, they have 10 new applicants to be fellows. And hopefully within a number of years, a short number of years, they'll have all of their teachers that have worked with a digital learning coach to help integrate technology into their classroom. So they put, you know, they pulled, you know, I think it was 10 to 12 teachers out of class and made them either TOSAs or specialists and put them in charge of being digital learning coaches.
So not just throwing this technology into a classroom for a teacher to figure out themselves. Yes. There's an assistance, a mentoring program.
Yeah, built right in. And it was self-selected at first, you know, by applying. Mm-hmm. Make sure you got the high demand teachers that really wanted to know how to learn and integrate that technology and were anxious to do it, were able to get that help from that digital learning coach.
Yes, and those were the teachers whose classrooms that we were able to visit were the fellows, and we heard from them what the program was like and how effective it was, and how the coach just walked them through whatever it was, whether it was using an app or even walking them through instructional practices and helping them just grow professionally and become better teachers.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of what TUSD did that really helped them succeed, that really helped them get along the path to success, instead of, you know, some other integration or the device rollout examples we've seen where it hasn't gone so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having built-in help and somebody there ready to say, hey, you want to learn that? I can help.
Yes.
I think that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed this year myself also, it's not so much about the device. They're focusing more on the pedagogy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how to change that with the new standards, Common Core, everything coming into place, mm-hmm. and then enhancing it with technology.
Yes, it's, they've really moved from the substitution and the augmentation piece on the SAMR model up to where they're really transforming the learning. So I thought, you know, that was SAMR model in action. It was really cool to see.
Yes,
and even definitely. Having gone to it, you know, for the first time, last year, Mike and I was a little overwhelmed. How were you a little overwhelmed at all the stuff they were doing?
I was. I just how many different apps and how much technology there was. But I think, like you said, that learning coach walking them through that process and even just providing that feedback, it was so important for those teachers to understand how, like you said, Mike, how they get there to that. It's not just substituting. It's not the augmenting. It's moving it beyond that. It really is. So I think those coaches were really pivotal in making that happen.
Most memorable thing, the thing that sticks out in your mind when you think, I went to test that TUSD Connect, and this is what this was the big boom or the aha moment. Put you on the spot there. Sorry.
Yeah, you did. You put me on the spot there. I just think a couple of big moments for me, but one in particular was just walking into a first grade classroom and seeing how students were grouped at this particular time, and they don't do this all the time, they were grouped in at tables of maybe 5 students per table, and each table was using a different app. And the kids, even in first grade, were able to explain what they were doing and were engaging with this technology in a way I was just blown away. I really thought, this is amazing. And then again, moving over to, I think it was a third grade or second grade, and these kids explaining to us what they're doing, what they're learning, how they're growing. I just thought, this is incredible. I think that was effective. When we think about, you know, kids being able to communicate, collaborate, I was like, they're hitting all of these things. Uh-huh. And that's effective. I think that was impressive.
Really taking the learning into their own hands.
Yes, definitely.
Nice. Yeah, I have to agree. You know, it was nice to see the ownership mm-hmm. of the technology by the students.
Yes.
It wasn't, this is the classroom's technology. No, this was their technology. Mm-hmm. They used it. This is how they learned their standards and how they advanced mm-hmm. with this technology.
And I know that they do get visited a lot, but they had those kids. I mean, and maybe it was rehearsed, maybe it wasn't, but some of those little kids would just come up and, oh, would you like to know? And here's what we're doing, and this is how we're learning. And I could have asked, I think, any one of the kids in that one of the third grade classes what they were doing or why they were using a device to do it, and I could have gotten an answer. And it's something that has really permeated the culture of the district that, yeah, we have technology, but we're learning with the technology. Mm-hmm. It's not just technology to have technology.
Yeah, and I think I like what you said, Tom, of just it's permeating the culture, and I think they understand the why they're using it. The teachers understand the why, and therefore the kids understand the why. And I think we definitely have some room to grow in that area, but I'm excited about moving in that direction of just really, I think you use that word, enhancing, Mike, the learning in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mike?
You know, one thing I was really impressed with is taking a standard that they were working on. I think it was biographies. They were working uh-huh. on biographies. Mm-hmm. And the technology they integrated into this lesson, it was multiple layers. Uh-huh. And the students were able to do these different, they were using apps. They were green screening a scene for they made puppets. Uh-huh. And so they had these puppets, they made a green screen, they had chose the appropriate background uh-huh. for this biography, and then they would take the product they had from that app and put it into another app to actually record voice on it, and then they would publish that online, and it was like 3 different steps of technology in one little lesson. Mm-hmm. It was.
And you could tell that the technology has truly been integrated as a learning tool, not this added piece of extra I'm having to do. I like that puppet thing too, the little mini biography, because so much, I mean, the kids were proud of the work they did on their puppet. Those were really nice puppets. And all the research going into the puppet about what they had to wear. And, you know, somebody had like Mickey Mantle and they had the right jersey number on it. And it was just perfect. And then they had to choose a background and a green screen app and take a picture. So they were taking something that they made with their hands and integrating technology there. And then once they had that picture with the green screen, then they take it over to, I think, Chatterpix or one of them, and then dictate the little biography like they were the person talking about their life. And I was just like, it was just so seamless. And I mean,
but the knowledge they took away from that activity versus just reading from a book,
About.
And that's it, undo a little report, they're going to own that knowledge for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And I saw one of the little kids going back and re-recording a couple times because he wanted to get it perfect. And by the last time, he wasn't reading anymore. He knew the information, and he was presenting that information. And it was really cool to see that transformation.
How about for you, Tom?
I think the opening day, the Apple VP of Education.
Oh, the keynote.
Keynote.
Yes.
That just blew me away. And I was like, wow. I'm like, just the from the early, you know, because what he was there with Jobs and Woz when they started everything.
And this was John Couch.
Yeah, that's right. And not only that, but bringing in the personal stories of his kids and how, you know, without technology, you know, what would have happened to his son that, you know, wasn't really interested in school and wasn't doing this. But once he found that technological niche or that place where it really spoke to him, the learning spoke to him, boom, it was just, it exploded from there.
Right.
And making sure that what I took away from that was we need to make sure that opportunity is there for our students.
Yes.
That maybe it's not the knowing which, you know, the date of, you know, the French Indian War, but exploring with technology and being able to present that information and turn that into something of their own, that who knows what that can spark. Mm-hmm. So he was very inspirational. It got me all excited about using tech in the classroom.
You know, I like what he said about devices, not just for content viewing.
Yeah.
It's for content creating.
That's
one thing he told Jobs, that I'm worried about the iPad when it comes out, that these are only going to be used to view content.
Yeah.
And that's not what our mission should be. It should be about students creating content.
And that's what it's become. It's become a content creation tool. And that's awesome.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was exciting.
That is exciting. And I like just, it's, we never know with our kids what they're going to connect to.
And
I think providing as many opportunities to have them connect to learning is so powerful, because for one student, it might be the biography itself, that they were very connected to that person that they read about. But in someone else, it might have been the actual creating the puppet, the art of it. Uh-huh. And someone else, it might have been the creating on the device, the retelling, or, you know, so we never know for each kid. And it is powerful to have technology and be able to provide just one more way for students like to click on and say, I get it now. I'm excited about learning. I want to come back. I want to share what I know. And so that's exciting.
And when you look at something like that, doing a biography report and, you know, either in class or reading about it, probably would have taken as long.
Yes.
As it did to do all these steps to make this, you know, so it's not that we're taking the technology to shortcut to learning or to, you know, or the technology takes up all my time. Mm-hmm. It's the same amount of time. But look at how many different ways that student can connect to that learning, how many opportunities they had. That's, I think, where technology really pushes the boundary, where it's multiple ways of accessing, not just the one I'm going to read and write a report.
And look how many different standards you can incorporate into just, I mean, listening and speaking skills you can incorporate, which is very difficult to grade and measure.
Yep.
You now have evidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, you got to go with the writing to begin with.
Yeah.
I got to put out something that's going to be maybe fit a timeline, but it's got to be coherent. I'm going to edit it with a peer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to, repeat that thing over and over again, which, you know, if you've ever tried to record something, there's a huge editing process going on while you're just recording, because you go back and you listen and you go, No, that's not quite how I wanted to say it. I'm going to go back and improve that.
Yes.
So, yeah, awesome the way you can hit a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, really great 3 days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And piggybacking onto that 3 days at TUSD, we're going to have 4 days coming up at the Q National Conference. And I'm going to ask Belinda this because we kind of went to Fall Q and we did the whole thing on that. But having this situation come up where you've just gone to TUSD and you just fresh off of it, do you have a different outlook or view or, you know, what's this National Q convention?
Yes. When I first heard about Q and found out I had an opportunity to attend this conference, I thought, I'm an early literacy specialist. How is that going to connect to what I'm doing in the classroom? And so I thought, I didn't really see the connection as well until I started looking at the course offerings. And then after having attended Tustin, I thought, oh my gosh, this is important. As an early literacy specialist, I can help support teachers in a much better way if I know how to use technology with my small groups, if I know how to integrate that, if I am aware of what's out there, I can offer, just ideas on how to use that for their groups to make it just more interesting, to offer that opportunity for another student to connect in a different way. So I feel like I see the link a lot clearer now. I wasn't sure, and I'm more of what's the term? It's a native, a digital native. Uh-huh. Is that the correct term? And so, I'm a little. I feel like I use technology in many ways, but I don't venture off as often in trying new technology. So I feel like this is pushing me in that area. And I know that some of our teachers are there too. And so I feel like if I can learn these things and if I can adopt and take on these new practices with technology, then I can help support teachers who might be unwilling to or might be hesitant to in their own classrooms.
And we should probably explain.
Yes, explain Q, because I'm not able to do that.
The national one is a large conference of computer using educators.
Yes.
It's mainly California educators. There's some Nevada.
Yes.
But it's local for us. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to meet other educators doing things in the classroom. And a lot of the digital learning coaches from Tustin, we've noticed, yes, presented at Fall.
They presented at Fall Q.
And we'll probably present at the national one also.
Hopefully, if you found our podcast, you know what Q is. Because
we've talked about it. A few times.
Not only that, most of the people that we like to connect to, especially the ones, who have inspired some of our podcasts, like the Check This Out guys or the Grumpy Old Teachers, they all get their start at Q and they're the ones presenting there and spawning all these ideas. And so, yeah, hopefully, mm-hmm, if you've found our podcast, and you get a chance to go to Q, it's great learning experience. I mean, how many different.
Oh, the wealth
sessions,
of information.
The wealth of knowledge. Bring back. There's so many different things. We went to the fall one and it was 3 days. And it was only on one campus. And just, I had trouble looking through the catalog because there was so many things I wanted to go to. And
four
then,
things at one time. Yeah, I want to go see it.
Yeah.
You want to do everything.
I'm going to split myself into four and go to these things. But the national one, have you seen how many sessions are there? 29 pages worth of sessions. I tried to print it out to look through it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's so much learning that's available to go on. It's so exciting.
Yeah. And these aren't publishers per se or software developers. These are teachers in the classroom doing this, presenting to other teachers.
Yes.
How exciting is that? That's a good PLC opportunity.
I'm looking forward to meeting other teachers who are doing what I'm doing. I think that's the exciting part. It's like, oh, you're doing what I'm doing. I'd like to learn to see how.
I'd like to steal from you.
I like to steal from you. Yes, I want to get better.
And there's a lot of coaches. There's a lot of digital learning coaches, TOSAs, specialists at these events.
It's exciting.
That both present and go because it's valuable knowledge. Mm-hmm.
That we can bring back to Bassett.
Right. That's right.
That's right. All right. So that's it for segment two. I want to thank Belinda for coming and brightening our podcast with her lovely voice.
Most definitely.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for the invitation.
Uh-huh. And we'll get back with our Before You Ticket and Tech Minute when we come back. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. And for our last segment today on our show, our Tech Minute or Before You Ticket, we're going to talk about something that I pulled from our, tech PLCs. And that was Ryan O'Donnell talking about how he went out and did some education on Google searches and how to make searches better for students.
And I saw that in mine, and I think you also retweeted that to me.
Yeah, I think I did, because I liked it. Because whenever we're going out to sites and we're working with kids on iPads, what's the first thing we help them do?
Well, how to make them creative. How do they get their images?
Yeah.
That they want to use in their projects.
And if you've ever done a Google search in your classroom, you know how scary that can be.
It can be dangerous.
It can be very, yeah.
Especially if your filters aren't working correctly.
Yep, that's right.
Your servers in the district. You have to be very careful, especially if you're projecting your search.
Yeah, that's... So we've been using this kid search and putting it as a shortcut on their desktop or their, you know, an icon on their...
Yeah, kids with a Z at the end, search.com.
Uh-huh, and...
It has heavy filters on it.
Yes.
And it's nicely organized for students, very basic.
Uh-huh. Gives and a, mostly images, Creative Commons.
Content. So, yeah. And that's about it. Maybe video.
And so for the older kids, I would say this is middle and high school level. This Google has their own Google search education where they teach kids how to search better. So there's everything on there. There's lesson plans and activities. There's power searching, how to make your searches, the best they can be to suit your needs. They have a Google a day challenge on there.
I even see they have understanding what a search engine is and how they work.
Yeah.
The algorithm that's backing them.
Yep. And what it does and where it goes and gets its information from. And one of the things that I love on there, on that Google search education, is they have live trainings. So, you know,
you maybe a webinar.
You can do a little personal webinar. And I'm looking at it right now. There's probably 14 different videos on everything from power searching to marketing to successful queries 1 and 2, and when time is tight and how to search Google Maps. So, I mean, Google has done a very good job of teaching us how to be better searchers.
Well, they are the king of search engines.
And, you know, when you want to go and do a search and you want to make sure that you find something, I think a lot of people, what they think of right away is, well, I got to go to Google. Not only is it the most popular, but they seem to have the most stuff. So
it's the Kleenex of
it is the or the Xerox of the copying. Yeah. So
it's the go-to word.
Yeah. If you have a chance or if you're into searching or you're going to help your students be better searchers and better information gatherers, Google search education is where we would recommend going. Okay. So that is our tech tip for today. So that's all time we have for today. We want to thank you for subscribing and for listening to this edition of Tosa's Talking Tech. Our next podcast will be live from Q.
New adventure for us.
Yeah, we're going to try and put it up on Blab too so you can see what we look like. I don't know if that's good or not.
I don't know.
But it'll be up there. And always experimenting with tech. So until then, may your tech always be working. May your tickets be answered quickly. May you remember to save to the cloud frequently. From the Dog Pound at the BIC, this is Tom Covington.
And Michael Jeffcott saying goodbye for now.
Can't get enough of those Tosa's Talking Tech? Head over to www.bassetusd.org/edtosas. And check out their screencasts on things like Haiku, sign-in, using Dropbox, Outlook tips and tricks, iMovie, screencasts, and more. Want a PD scheduled for your site? Have an idea for a podcast? Or a question about tech you want answered? Email them at edtosas@bassetusd.org. That's edtosas@bassetusd.org. Your compliments, critiques, and questions are always welcome.